We're talking about a planned merger between T-Mobile and Sprint here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So the two companies have said they'll try to close the deal as early as April 1st to create a supersized carrier with more than 100 million customers. And under the deal, Sprint will be absorbed by T-Mobile. Do you have a wireless plan with either of these carriers? What do you think about the merger? How do you feel about your current wireless plan? Are you concerned about less competition in the market? We're at 800-642-1234. Robert Siemens is an associate professor of management and organizations at New York University's Stern School of Business, and he's argued against the proposed merger alongside six other economists and antitrust experts. Rob, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. Thanks for having me on.
So why are these two major competitors merging? What's going on here?
So the argument that that the two companies are putting forward is that they need to merge in order to save on costs, in order to build out their 5G networks to serve customers.
And T-Mobile and Sprint are trying to do this on a real fast timeline here, closing the deal by April 1st. What are some of the advantages of this proposed merger that T-Mobile is saying?
So the main advantages that they are describing would be cost savings, as well as resolving a little bit of uncertainty around being able to move forward to build out their 5G networks.
And more than 90% of Americans own a cell phone, and this merger will technically limit options for cell phone service. What implications does this have on customers?
That's right. I mean, and so that is why me, together with six other economists, have been opposed to this merger. We'd be going from four large nationwide carriers to three. That would effectively reduce competition from four to three, or even less. Right? There are many markets where right now there aren't all four carriers present, and so we really worry that that there'll be a reduction in the number of carriers, and that will lead to less competition between the carriers, and potentially higher prices or worse quality for customers.
How would this plan expand access to cellular networks, next generation 5G? What would coverage look like with this merger?
Well, in terms of 5G, I think the first thing to realize is that there are parts of the country that currently do have 5G. All four carriers do currently offer 5G in at least some parts of the country. T-Mobile has probably been the most aggressive in terms of building out their 5G offerings. And as of December, I believe they had 5G across most of their network. The issue is that they're sort of early 5G, which is what we're seeing right now. But there might be higher quality 5G, a year or a couple of years from now.
How does this deal bring in Dish Network and try to elevate Dish Network into the competition?
Yeah, this is a great point. So, the DOJ, the Department of Justice, mm-hmm. and the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, are letting the merger go through under the condition that some of Sprint's customers go to Dish Networks, and that Dish Networks builds out their own infrastructure that would then become a new fourth carrier that would then compete against what would now be the three large carriers, AT&T, Verizon, and then the combined T-Mobile Sprint.
So I was reading your brief, and it says the DOJ says that Dish's spectrum inventory is proof that it will have the ability and incentive to enter the market. First of all, explain, what is spectrum inventory?
Yeah, so spectrum are the airwaves that the carriers need in order to take data from one cell phone and pass it off to another cell phone. So over time, the carriers have bid on spectrum and have won spectrum in auctions from the FCC, or they have traded it with each other, or bought and sold it from each other or from other third parties. Over time, Dish has accumulated spectrum, but has not really used much of it to date. And so part of the thesis behind, at least part of the thesis I believe that the government has behind bringing Dish in, is that it would be an opportunity for them to use the spectrum that they have.
We're talking about the mega merger of T-Mobile and Sprint with Rob Siemens from New York University. He's an associate professor, and he filed a court brief arguing against the merger. Your questions welcome, 800-642-1234. So, Rob, why do you think Dish won't ultimately build out its network? How does this merger give Dish any added incentive here to build out, or why would it turn away from that?
Yeah, so it's I view it as sort of a strange thing, right? The argument that Sprint and T-Mobile are making to the courts in terms of why the merger should go through is that Sprint is having a hard time competing as a fourth carrier. Okay, so the government is allowing the merger to go through, but the government recognizes that it would be great to have a fourth carrier there in order to give us the benefits of competition, and so they're trying to make Dish into a fourth carrier. And so it feels like there's the two arguments are at tension with each other, right? So if you have Dish come in as a very weak fourth competitor, right, a competitor who has not been, Dish does not currently offer any type of wireless plans. They'd be starting from scratch, and to expect that they would somehow replicate what Sprint is currently doing doesn't seem to make sense to us.
Go ahead. Well, there's some indication that T-Mobile gave the FCC staff favorable data to kind of soften the blow of the competition issues raised by the merger. What was that about?
That's an interesting point. I'm actually not familiar with that.
Well, it was part of the brief saying that, you know, they wanted to show that the competition issues wouldn't be as substantial as the economists are concerned about. So another thing that was brought up in the brief is that there is this retail mobile wireless services that involves consumers, but there's also this wholesale market. What are the implications of the wholesale market on the consumer?
Yeah, and this is also a useful point to come back to the Dish point that you raised earlier. So the large carriers do provide wholesale prices, sort of wholesale access to other third parties that might want to then try to sell services to consumers. This would be the arrangement that the new T-Mobile, right, T-Mobile plus Sprint, has with Dish. Dish would get, reduced rates, wholesale rates that they would pay to Sprint, T-Mobile, and then Dish would be able to turn around and sort of sell that to customers.
Let's bring in a call now. Ruth in Madison. Hi, Ruth.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm curious, and I'm not sure whether you'll be able to answer this question, but are these two companies pushing this through so quickly before we have a chance to look at the health issues from the 5G networking? We know that there are European countries that have disallowed the 5G because of the health concerns. I'm curious what your comments are on that, and I'll take them off the air.
Ruth, thanks. Rob, are there any connections there?
Ruth, thanks for your comment. I'm not aware of any health concerns. And in fact, we do know that these carriers already are offering 5G across parts of the U.S., and so I believe that whatever health concerns there might be, the U.S. officials at least believe that we don't need to worry about them. If I could just pick up on one point that Ruth raised, and Kate, that you raised earlier, you both mentioned the speed with which the merger has gone through, but in fact, it actually has been a relatively slow process. So just to rewind a little bit, so T-Mobile and AT&T tried to merge back in 2011. Sprint and T-Mobile tried to merge in 2014. And then in 2018 was when Sprint and T-Mobile announced that they were going to be merging. And so the Sprint-T-Mobile merger has been in the works at least for a couple of years. It has just taken time for this to work its way through the court systems.
So as it makes its way through the courts, what would the costs be for mobile plans, and would there be a higher cost on consumers as this goes through?
So I don't think that going through the courts has any implication on costs for consumers, but the other economists and I who wrote the brief do believe that going from four national carriers to three carriers will result in higher prices for customers. Now, even if Dish ends up being a viable fourth competitor, they have 7 years to build out that network. And so that is effectively 7 years of just three national carriers.
So what needs to happen next for T-Mobile and Sprint to merge and to become one?
Great. So the merger is not yet complete. There is still a final hurdle that they have to go through, which is something called the Tunney Act proceeding. So there is a court in Washington, D.C., that is reviewing the proposed remedy, whereby some of Sprint's customers would go to Dish, and Dish would agree to build out its own network. So the court is reviewing that and needs to basically accept that in order for the merger, to be finalized.
Rob, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kate.
Rob Siemens is an associate professor of management and organizations at NYU's Stern School of Business. He argued against the proposed merger alongside other economists and antitrust experts. Coming up, we look at how bail jumping charges affect people wrapped up in our state's criminal justice system. Some state Democrats have proposed legislation to change bail practices. We'll talk about it right after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.